Hey, and welcome back to the podcast. At the start of the year, I took my church through the letter to the Galatians. Now, this letter is short, but it's full to the brim with content. So enjoy as we grapple with how big Jesus is and how he changes everything.
Now, you may have heard the supposed story of the radio exchange between the Americans and the Canadians off the coast of Newfoundland a few years ago. The Americans start, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." The Canadians respond, "We recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The Americans say, "This is a captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." "No, I say again, you divert your course," say the Canadians. So with the Americans' big pomp, "This is the aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north, that is 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship." The Canadians calmly respond, "This is a lighthouse. It's your call." You've heard that one before. Sam has definitely used it before. But in this passage this evening that we're looking at, Paul is calling his readers to stand firm, just like that lighthouse, no matter the threats that come their way. We're picking up just after the Galatians have been had the explanation that anyone who trusts in Christ crucified is like Isaac. They're the children of the promise. We've just sung about being children of the promise. They're free. And if that's their identity, if that's our identity, well, the call of this passage this evening is to not lose that. So Paul starts this passage off in verse 1 stating, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then." Just like a lighthouse, stand firm. Or to mix metaphors a little bit, stay anchored, don't move. Don't go back to the slavery that Christ has set you free from. That's Paul's big point in this passage that he wants to drive home this evening. So how do you go about that? Well, Paul gives us two points, two things we're going to see. Stand firm and don't move. So, stand firm. Verses 2 to 6. You get the impression that Paul wants the Galatians to take note. He wants us to take note of what he's about to say. I mean, when you say, "Mark my words," and then you throw your authority into the ring too, "I, Paul," you know this is something that needs to be taken notice of. So verse 2, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you submit the knife now, Galatians, you're going to lose Christ." That's Paul's point. And in doing so, he lays out two options for them. You see, on the one side, you can be circumcised, verse 2. But that will result in, verse 3, having to keep the whole law. You see, the law comes as a package. You can't just take bits out of it. It comes as a package. But in doing so, if you do that, you lose Christ. You see that in verse 2? You're alienated from him. And ultimately, verse 4, you lose grace. That's the two options. Make your choice, Christ or the law. Freedom or slavery. There's no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. And that's a strong warning, isn't it? If the Galatians are to take on circumcision, well, they're going to lose Christ and they're going to lose grace. And that's a warning that's open to everybody. Did you see that in verse 3? Paul says in verse 3, he declares to every man. That's a warning to us too. We may not be tempted to get circumcised, but are we tempted to do something more to be righteous in God's sight? Perhaps by taking something on, or this particular season, giving something up. That's the warning for the Galatians, the warning right there. And that's the warning for us too. But if you're like me, you probably see the warning and you scoot straight over it. But you see, if we ignore warnings in the Bible, we end up missing out on something that God has put there for our good. Now, Izzy and I regularly drive to North Wales. I'm sure some other people here know what this is like. On the way, there's a very steep mountain that you have to go over the top of. And as you're driving up, there are warning after warning of how bendy and tight the roads are going to become. The issue is, though, that those warnings come up way before any danger comes up. So you just ignore them. But after a few moments, you realise what they're talking about. Hard bends, where if you look out the window, rock face. If you ignore the warnings, you're going to descend rather than ascend the mountain. And you're probably going to descend faster than going up. And you see, God uses warnings like this in the Bible to preserve his people. So when there's a warning for God's people, let's not scoot over them. So why does this decision matter so much? Well, we've seen before, haven't we? No one can keep the law perfectly. And as we saw last week, Christ has already won the inheritance. So Paul can say in verse 5, through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Now hoping in the Bible is not a fingers crossed attitude. Instead, it's a certainty of something that is definitely going to come. So through the Spirit, we can eagerly wait by faith. But what are we waiting for? What does it say? We're waiting for the righteousness for which we hope. You see, we have righteousness now. We've seen that previously in Galatians. But we're also waiting for the righteousness too. How does that work? Well, it's a bit like being on holiday. You've got a holiday coming. It's all booked. It's all paid for. For the purposes of this illustration, it's definitely going to happen. And you leave on Monday. As you pack up your things on Friday at work, your colleague calls out to you, "Hey, are you on holiday now?" Well, in some cases, the answer is yes, isn't it? You don't have many more work to do. You're on holiday. But you don't actually leave until Monday. We have righteousness now, yes, but on the final day we're going to have righteousness too, when God opens the books and declares us righteous. You see, that's the amazing thing here. In Christ, it's all accomplished. It's absolutely certain. So my question for you is, how eagerly do you await that day? How eagerly do you await the day when God, in his final judgment, counts you righteous? Are we eager for that? Do we tell other people about that? And because of Christ, it means that being circumcised has no value. It's not even on the table. Notice that Paul doesn't just say circumcision doesn't have any value. That's what I used to think this said. But Paul actually says there in verse 6, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. You see, the temptation to think of yourself as better than other people, it just can't exist in Christ. Instead, what does matter? Well, it's there at the end of verse 6. Faith expressing itself through love. Faith and love. And it's important that we get that order right. You see, it's faith that expresses itself through love. It's faith that is the root, and it's love that is what springs from it. Because you can try and be as loving as you can, but without faith, it's going to be a lot of effort. It's like stapling fruit to a dead tree. Eventually it's going to fall off. So the mark of faith is faith that works itself out in love. So the logical question is, how is your faith doing? So stand firm. The next thing Paul says, wants to point out, is don't move. This is 7 to 12. With the ironclad certainty of righteousness on the final day, why would you want to go the other way? That's where Paul turns now. So don't move. Watch out for those who want to steal your freedom. You see, when the gun had gone off, the Galatians had started well. We know that from earlier on in our letter. But then, if you catch his wit here, Paul says someone cut in on them. Someone tripped them up. Someone stopped them from obeying the truth. Remember, the true, bold, underlined gospel. And based on all that Paul has said before this, it's obvious that that's not come from God. All the things that are being said here. It's obvious it's not come from God to do more. And if it's not come from God, then you can safely jettison it. And the Galatian church can get back on the track. Now, I'm not much of a baker, but I'm told that yeast does spread through a whole batch of dough. Seems to be what it does. And false teaching does that too. If one person lets false teaching in, it spreads. And that's why discipleship, what we spoke about on Wednesday at our members' meeting, is so important. You see, we help one another to run the race. We help one another to stay on track. So have you got structures in place to catch issues early before they spread too far? Are you sharing life and being open with someone who can disciple you? In some ways, it doesn't just affect you and the other person, it affects the whole church. In verse 10, Paul says he is convinced the Galatians will come to his point of view, the true point of view that he's been teaching. The warnings and the foundations that he's spelled out are the tonic that these Christians in Galatia need. But most importantly, God can be trusted to complete the work that he's already begun. And that work involves getting them over the finish line, getting them through the final judgment. And on the other hand, the false teachers, whoever they may be, have their destiny already set. The end result is having to pay the penalty on that day when God opens the books and demands 100% perfection from them. You take a bit of the law, you get the whole thing. Notice as well, the judgment's impartial. Paul says, whoever they may be, there are only two options for them and for us. And our society may not like that. They may not like the exclusivity of our gospel, but you see, it's the truth. And anyone or anything that does not fully rely on the work of Christ crucified is to be rejected. And that may lead to persecution, like it has for Paul in verse 11. But you see, anything that does not rely fully on Christ ends up abolishing the offence of the cross. Because the cross is offensive. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. The cross says there is no goodness in ourselves that can be celebrated. The cross says that we're hopelessly lost in our own sin and we need someone to rescue us. If Paul was to preach circumcision, it would have got him off the hook. Because the cross isn't as offensive as that. You see, it's not offensive because it says we can contribute something, we can do something to add to our righteousness. But at the end of the day, it's the wrong option of the two. It can't be upheld. And to teach it is wrong and it deserves judgment. Hence, Paul's final statement in verse 12. I don't need to go into the detail about what he's talking about there, but you can see how angry it makes him to have to correct teaching like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So, Christchurch Hemel, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand like a lighthouse taking on a US Navy ship. We live under grace. We're free. So we need to live like it. We need to remember that daily, to have Christ crucified at the front of our minds. What might that look like this week? What might it look like to live in freedom? Well, it may look like our reaction when we're snubbed or we're ridiculed by others. Perhaps for something that we're doing or for something that we're not doing. If we're living in freedom, then that won't devastate us. If we are devastated, well, it may be that we're living for others' approval. It may be that we're slaves to other people, that receiving recognition from other people has become our God. But if we live by grace, we live in freedom, we're able to let that slide and trust that God has a greater purpose, knowing that ultimately our destination is sealed. We won't be rejected by him on the last day. So I echo what Paul says here. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm.
Well, there's some things to chew on. Why not let me know what you think by sending an email? The details are in the show notes. But until next time, get on with praising God this week.